Welcome to Missionary Echoes, a ministry of the God's Missionary Church of Lebanon, Pennsylvania at 2127 Hill Street. I am Pastor Alan Walter, thanking you for joining us today, and trust your heart will be blessed as we worship the Lord together.
Would you be free from your burden of sin? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you or evil a victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood.
In the blood
of the Lamb.
There
is power,
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 power, wonder-working power
in the precious blood of the Lamb. Would you be whiter, much whiter than snow? There's power in the blood, power in the blood.
Sins are lost in its life-giving flow.
There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power,
power,
wonder-working power
in the blood.
Good morning, my friend. I trust that you're enjoying this Lord's Day. I'm Pastor Joel, and welcome to another edition of Missionary Echoes. The general was famous for great exploits of courage and strength in battle, leading his men to victory. This success on the battlefield had gained him favor with the king, and he enjoyed a prominent position of great power in the kingdom. This position was an earned position. He was renowned as a valiant warrior and an honorable man, a great leader of men, blessed by God in his efforts. But despite all his success, his wealth, honor, and position, not one person in the kingdom wished to live in his skin. For you see, there is one thing in his life that was beyond his control, and that was the condition of his skin, for he was a leper, by the name of Naaman. Today we're going to talk about this man, and the day his life was completely changed when he encountered the God of Israel.
His name is wonderful. His name is wonderful. His name is wonderful. Jesus, my Lord. He mighty King, Master of everything. His name is wonderful, Jesus my Lord. He's the great Shepherd, the Rock of all ages. God is He, bow down before Him, love and adore Him. His name is wonderful, Jesus my Lord.
Shepherd, the Rock of all ages, Almighty God is He. My Lord, His name is wonderful. His name is wonderful. His name is wonderful. Jesus, my Lord, He is the mighty King. Master of everything, His name is wonderful, Jesus my Lord, Jesus my Lord.
Yes, the name of Jesus is truly wonderful, for in Him is found the hope of the entire world. That was Assurance Quartet from God's Bible School, singing His Name is Wonderful, reminding us of the God we serve. It's our privilege to take our burdens and our concerns to God, and so let's do that even now. Lord, we know that You are great, for we've seen You working, and the things You accomplish can only be credited to You. We see that You have power to redeem a sinful soul and make them a brand new person from the inside out. Thank You, Lord, for this opportunity to spend this time with our friends as we look into Your Word. Would You open our spiritual eyes and help us to be doers and not simply hearers of Your Word? I pray for those that are listening who are suffering from a physical ailment, for we know that You're compassionate. You see their pain, and You can touch them and make their bodies whole. There are others who are listening today who are struggling with depression or sorrows that weigh them down. And I ask that You would strengthen them and help them to find You to be their burden bearer. Thank You, Lord, that we can cast our cares on You, knowing that You truly care for us. For all You do, may we be faithful to give You praise. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. This program is an outreach of the God's Missionary Church at 2127 Hill Street in Lebanon, Pennsylvania. If you don't have a church family, I invite you to join us each Sunday morning at 9:30 for Sunday school, 10:30 for a morning worship service, and 6 o'clock for an evening worship service. On Wednesday nights, we have a prayer and praise service at 7 o'clock p.m. I hope you'll be able to join us in person for our services, but if you can't, you can always go to lebanongmc.com. where you can watch live broadcasts of our services, find out about upcoming events, and even share prayer requests with us. That's LebanonGMC.com.
Triumph on the morrow, even now our
Our scripture for today is found in 2 Kings chapter 5. It's an account of God's provision and mercy on Naaman, the leader of the armies of Syria. 2 Kings 5:1. Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master, and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. And the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said unto her mistress, "Would God my lord were with the prophet that was in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy." And one went in and told his lord, saying, "Thus and thus said the little maid that is of the land of Israel." And the king of Syria said, go, and I will send a letter unto the king of Israel." And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver, and 6,000 pieces of gold, and 10 changes of raiment. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, "Now when this letter is come unto thee, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman my servant to thee, that thou mayest recover him of his leprosy." And it came to pass, when the king of Israel had read the letter, that he rent his clothes and said, "Am I God, to kill and to make alive, that this man doth send unto me to recover a man of his leprosy? Wherefore consider, I pray you, and see how he seeketh a quarrel against me." And it was so, when Elisha, the man of God, had heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying, "Wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come now to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel." First, we see here that Naaman has hope. If you think about it, what a predicament for Naaman. How embarrassing and dreadful this disease must have been for him. He's desperate for a cure, and had likely tried many things to ward off the debilitating effects of leprosy. This time, Naaman trusts in the words of a servant girl, and even the king of Syria is excited at the possibility of a cure for his valiant general. In fact, the king has written a letter of introduction, a recommendation, you could say, for Naaman, and provides a handsome reward to be given to the one who is able to restore his favorite general's health. We shouldn't overlook the fact that Naaman makes the journey to the prophet and doesn't simply send for him to be brought to his house. We see in here that Naaman is ready. Hope drives him forward. He is willing to do whatever it takes to be healed. So first, Naaman goes directly to the king of Israel, likely thinking that a man with such power as the prophet will be at least a trusted counselor in the courts of Israel. Now remember, in fairness to the king of Israel, Elisha does not have a reputation for healing leprosy. In fact, in Luke chapter 4, verse 27, Jesus tells us that Naaman was the only leper that was healed at the time of Elisha's ministry, and that neither Elijah or Elisha were well accepted in their home country. It must have puzzled Naaman that this great prophet whom he had traveled to see is not in a prominent position in the kingdom. I don't know whether Naaman was privy to the fact that Elisha sent a message to the king reminding him that there was a prophet in Israel or not, but what a mark against the king of Israel that the man of God is not consulted on matters that are under God's control. I think it kind of speaks volumes to the spiritual state of Israel in this day. For although there's a messenger from God in their midst, they don't wish to hear from him, and they're in a state of rebellion against God. What a great opportunity is missed when we shut our ears when God is speaking. Oh, think of it. What a sad thing when men and women wish to not be bothered by God and find their wishes have come true. But for Naaman and his entire entourage, they have hope, and they go to the house of Elisha, expecting great things to happen. But at first, they will be greatly disappointed. 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 9. So Naaman came with his horses and with his chariots, and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. And Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, "Go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean." But Naaman was wroth and went away and said, "Behold, I thought he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper. Are not Abana and Pharpar, rivers of Damascus, far better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean?" So he turned and went away in a rage. And his servants came near and spake unto him and said, My father, if the prophet had bid thee to do something great, wouldst thou not have done it? How much rather then, when he saith to thee, Wash and be clean? Then he went down and dipped himself 7 times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. What a humbling experience this must have been for Naaman. It seems he had not so much as even seen Elisha when he went to the prophet's house, for his servant delivered the message. Then he is told to go wash in a river, as if he was just a common beggar with no other means to bathe. You and I would probably have responded as he did if we were in his position. This was a disgrace to be treated like this, especially when he came with a reward worthy of a king for this prophet. But even in a rage at the way he had been treated, he heeds the advice of his servants and follows instructions from the prophet. His attitude and actions as he bathed in Jordan are not recorded for us, but we do see that he fully obeyed, and his obedience was rewarded with a complete healing. You know, my friend, God requires obedience from us. Often, we like to think we're partially responsible for the miraculous things that God does. But in the case of Naaman, all that he could point to is that he simply obeyed. He humbled himself and obeyed. There was no incantations, there's no poultices, no potions that could receive any praise. The touch of the prophet was not the key to the healing. Elisha didn't even bother to come to the door. And even the River Jordan couldn't get the credit for the healing. For I'm sure that all the lepers in the area were soon dipping themselves in that river, only to come out a leper still. You see, the reason for his healing was clear to Naaman, and all the glory and all the credit was given to God. Now he returns to the prophet, not to give Elisha credit, but to give a blessing to the messenger of God. Verse 15, it says, And he, or Naaman, returned to the man of God, he and all his company, and came and stood before him and said, Behold, now I know that there is no God in all the earth but in Israel. Now therefore, I pray thee, take a blessing of thy servant. But he said, As the Lord liveth, before whom I stand, I will receive none. And he urged him to take it, but he refused. And Naaman said, Shall there not then, I pray thee, be given to thy servant 2 mules burden of earth? For thy servant will henceforth offer neither burnt offering nor sacrifice unto other gods, but unto the Lord. In this thing the Lord pardon thy servant, that when my master goeth into the house of Rimmon to worship there, and he leaneth on my hand, and I bow myself in the house of Rimmon, when I bow myself in the house of Rimmon, the Lord pardon thy servant in this thing. And he said unto him, Go in peace. So he departed from him a little way. Right here we see that there is more than the condition of Naaman's skin had been changed while he was bathing there in the Jordan. Naaman had surrendered his will to the will of God, and he had begun obeying the instructions from God. You see, Naaman was cleaned from a lot more than just leprosy. We see here that Naaman had been cleansed spiritually. He recognized that the God of Israel, whom the people of Israel are content to ignore, is the only true God. And upon returning to Elisha's house, he now meets the prophet in person. Now, we have no reason to believe that Elisha was attempting to ignore Naaman or to slight him in any way when he first arrived. But Elisha was simply following the leadership of God. And God often uses inconvenience to expose the condition of our hearts, doesn't he? Naaman had left in a fit of rage, but he had repented of it, and he heeded the message of God, proving that there was a change in him before Naaman had ever stepped foot in the river. Now, as he returns, he tries to give Elisha a blessing for the part that Elisha played in delivering the message from God. But Elisha isn't interested in the riches from Syria. He makes a promise to the prophet that he will not sacrifice or serve God, but the Lord Jehovah. He goes so far as to ask for 2 mules loaded down with dirt to take back with him to Syria, a request that we would think strange, but it shows us that he wishes to identify himself with the Israelites. And though he cannot simply move to Israel in his position as a general, he is taking back some of Israel with him, so he can literally be on his new native soil. What a transformation in Naaman. Now, part of Naaman's duty to his king is to assist the king in the worship of the king's god, Rimmon. And already ahead of time, Naaman thinks of this, and he's asking forgiveness for this very thing. Elisha simply responds, "Go in peace." And I wonder if the king of Syria was not also perhaps converted from the worship of his false god when Naaman returned home, having been restored by Jehovah. I mean, I don't know, there's not really any record, but what did Rimmon ever do for the king of Syria that the god Jehovah, that had just cleansed Naaman from leprosy, could do? One thing I'm fairly certain of, though, is that the household of Naaman was transformed. For if his servants loved and esteemed their master before, how much greater was their delight when some of them had seen the power of God with their own eyes, and when Naaman is now worshiping the one true God. That little Jewish maid must have rejoiced greatly at the change that had taken place on the outside and inside Naaman. Now, if the story ended here, it'd be like a fairy tale, wouldn't it? And they all lived happily ever after. But sadly, Gehazi, the servant of Elisha, had set his heart after the riches that were offered to Elisha, and he quickly devised a scheme to obtain a portion of those goods. Back in verse 20, "But Gehazi, the servant of Elisha, the man of God, said, 'Behold, my master has spared Naaman the Syrian, in not receiving at his hands that which he brought. But as the Lord liveth, I will run after him and take somewhat of him.' So Gehazi followed after Naaman. And when Naaman saw him running after him, he lighted down from the chariot to meet him and said, 'Is all well?' And he said, 'All is well. My master hath sent me, saying, Behold, even now there be come to me from Mount Ephraim 2 young men of the sons of the prophets. Give them, I pray thee, a talent of silver and 2 changes of garments.' And Naaman said, 'Be content. Take 2 talents.' And he urged him and bound 2 talents of silver in 2 bags with 2 changes of garments and laid them upon 2 of his servants, and they bare them before him. When he came to the tower, he took them from their hand and bestowed them in the house, and he let the men go, and they departed. But he went in and stood before his master, and Elisha said unto him, 'Whence comest thou, Gehazi?' And he said, 'Thy servant went no hither.' And he said unto him, 'Went not my heart with thee when the man turned again from his chariot to meet thee? Is it a time to receive money, and to receive garments, and olive yards, and vineyards, and sheep, and oxen, and manservants, and maidservants? The leprosy therefore of Naaman shall cleave unto thee, and unto thy seed forever.' And he went out from his presence a leper, as white as snow." Oh, how foolish of Gehazi! His plot of lies and deception worked. But sadly, Gehazi was the most deceived by them. I can almost hear the tears in the voice of Elisha as he informs Gehazi, his beloved servant, of his dreadful fate. The heart and body of Naaman had been cleansed, but in the meantime, the heart and body of Gehazi had become corrupted. My friend, don't miss this part of the story, for as great and as exciting as the healing of Naaman is, the curse of Gehazi strikes close to home for many of us. Naaman, the man far from God, sick with a dreadful disease, is cleansed and made whole when he seeks after and obeys God. But Gehazi, who is daily in the presence of God's prophet, and who is the bearer of the messages from God, falls into temptation and chose to disobey God immediately after God performs a great miracle. Gehazi is not content to trust in the all-powerful God to meet his needs and his wants, but he pursues riches at the expense of his health. Gehazi lost everything. He had over 2 talents of silver and 2 sets of clothes. Oh, what a sad ending. But the reality of it should not be lost on us. God has given us the treasure of his word, the Bible. Most of you listening to my voice today own multiple copies, and you have knowledge of what it says. God's will and His commands have been revealed to us. But my friend, this morning, be honest. Are we living in the power that's available to us? And I'm preaching to myself as well. If we get our eyes on the things and possessions of this world, we're liable to fall into the same trap as Gehazi and foolishly trade the blessing and presence of God for a few fleeting pleasures and obtain destruction for our souls. Naaman was willing to be humbled before God to have his disease cleansed, but the servant of Elisha fell prey to the allurement of wealth and pleasure and desired those things over the provision of God. Oh, my friend, what is the condition of your heart today? Are you like Naaman without hope, watching as the stain of sin spreads over you, corrupting you, ruining your life, destroying you, leading you downward to death? Please, this morning, seek God, for the blood of Jesus will cleanse you from every sin. There is new life, new hope in Him. There's peace and joy and blessing to be found in the presence of the Lord. Now, perhaps you're like Gehazi. You know the presence of God and the blessings of being a Christian, but Satan has been bidding for your soul, offering you a great treasure, or so you think. Oh, my friend, this morning, please don't fall for the trap. The pleasures are only temporary, but they always bring destruction. My friend, there's no need for you to be like Gehazi. Could I pray for you today? Oh, Lord, I pray for the one that's listening right now, that you'd help them to understand and see the importance of obeying and following you. Lord, I know that you see each decision that we make and the direction that we're headed. I pray that you'd prick our conscience when we're faced with temptation and open our eyes to the truth. May we walk in your presence and in the power of your Spirit. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, my friend, our time for this program is quickly coming to a close, but do you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Do you personally know the power of God at work in your life? It'd be our delight to help you in any way that we can. We'd love to talk to you about a spiritual need or any other need you have, in fact. You can stop by today during regular service time at 10:30 this morning or at 6:30 tonight, or you can call our church office and set up an appointment. The number to call is 717-273-3690. Or you can send us an email at lebgmc@gmail.com. We'd be delighted to help you in any way that we can. I'm Pastor Joel Sickler, wishing you a blessed week.
Say yes, Lord, yes.